everybody. I'm sure that most of us have heard about the phrase Shovavim or Shovavim Tat. These letters form the acrostic of most of the parshas in Sefer Shmos, beginning with Parshas Shmos and ending either with Parshas Mishpatim, that's Shovavim, or ending with Parshas Tetzaveh, that's the Truma Tetzaveh, Shovavim Tat. The period of the calendar, the days that correspond to the Shabbosos that we read, these parshios, are supposedly imbued with a special meaning, and we're urged to engage in certain elements of tshuva, and specifically as relates to matters of Kedusha. There's a lot in Sifrei Kabbalah on these inyanim, a tremendous amount, which I can tell you in advance. I apologize. I angli esek ben estaros, so I'm going to stay away from all of those areas. But what I'd like to do with you is to show you how the origin of the idea of looking at these days in a special way, in a special light, predates the Arizal. The Arizal was very, very much involved with creating the whole aura that we associate with these weeks. But there's already evidence in Rishonim that there's something special about the weeks of Shovavim or Shovavim Tat. And we'll try to focus on what you might call the nigla of this topic and present an overview of some of the makoros that we find both back in the Rishonim and various Sifrei Halacha where these practices are mentioned. And then at the end, maybe something of a nofach mishali, like a thought that occurred to me that perhaps can give us some perspective of why these parshios were chosen to focus on inyanim of Kedusha in light of what the Arizal spoke about and expounded on. So let's just sort of backtrack and ask the basic questions as an overview, as a segue into looking at some of the sources. What are some of the earliest makoros, of course, for the inyanim of Shovavim, Shovavim Tat? What kind of tshuva is mentioned? How were these practices observed exactly in the form of Tanesim? Exactly how many Tanesim? When did they fast? And what if fast would coincide with Rosh Chodesh or Tu B'Shvat or whatever it may be that would occur during these weeks? Is there a special connection between these practices and the Shonim Uberes, like we have this year? We find some evidence of that somehow there's more of an emphasis on these inyanim during a leap year. Why should that be? Why do we go until Mishpatim or until Tetzaveh? What about the last three parashas of Sefer Shmos? What happened to Kisisa, Vayakov, Pikudei? And so let's begin by looking at the beginning of your sources. This is the first source that I'm aware of that directly speaks about this inyan. This is a Rebbe of the Maharil. So we're talking about the 1300s. Minhagei Rav Shalom Minustat. He was the Rebbe of the Maharil in Siman Tuf Mem Dalet. Sha'alti, this was a question that was asked of Rav Shalom. Neima mis'anin ke'ashana me'uberes. Notice, the focus to begin with was on shana me'uberes, and apparently there were minhagim about fasting. Somehow, this was a given, and the question is why. Ba'amali, so his response was, l'fisha shana aruka yosef mishanim acheros. Since the year is longer, we have an extra month. The yesh zman muflog mitainios shelachar achag shemisanim bahag letainios sheni b'chamisha v'sheni shelachar pesach mibishanim acheros ukach misanim. You see, we have to think about the fact that there were tanesim called bahab that were very much part of the structure of the calendar within Ashkenaz. That's the origin of bahab. You have bahab after Sukkis, beginning of Mar Cheshvan, and you have bahab after Pesach at the beginning of Iyar. And you have the gap of time in between. In a typical year, so they didn't feel like we needed anything in between, a booster shot of Tanesim, because before you know it, you finish the one Bahab, you get to Pesach, you have the other one. Here we have an extra month, the stretch is longer, so they wanted to inject another period of Tshuva and Tanesim in between because of the length of the year, and that's why we have it like more or less here, which is, you might say, somewhere in between the Bahab after Sukkot and the Bahab after Pesach. Okay, there's nothing more about specifically where when do you fast, and you know, is it Bahab? Is it actually to be done on Monday and Thursday, and every single Monday and Thursday, and exactly when during the Shana Mu'baris, that's not discussed in this particular source. But if you look at other contemporary sources of that time, so this is all from that same Tkufa, the period of the Maharil. There's a Sefer HaMinhagim, Yitzchak Isaac Mitirna, and he discusses this in more detail. But again, you see it's coming from the same basic framework. The Ibor, and the focus again is on the fact that it's a leap year. The Ibor in the Shana Mu'baris, a leap year, regilin the Kvoa Tainis, the Simen Shovavim. So here you see more specifically that this is done corresponding to the weeks of Shovavim. Parsha Shmos Ba'erbo B'Shach Yisam Mishpatim. The Yesh Omrim, so here you have the possibility of extending it two more weeks. Yesh Om Af Gam Truma Tetzave, Gam Tat, Pirish Truma Tetzave. How does it work? So now you have a Tainis, how many Tadesin? So here he says as follows. The Kol Yom He Mis'anim. So it's not Monday and Thursday, it's Thursday right before each of these Shabbosos. Kol Yom He Mis'anim. The Korin Pasha Sashavua Shachris. So in Shachris, interesting, you don't read Vayecha. You read what you would be reading for that week. But then, and the Omer, Shomer Yisrael, because really the Shomer Yisrael, the Tachan, was originally meant only for Tanis Sibur. We say it all the time, but he's going with the old Minog, which was only to add Shomer Yisrael by a Tainis. So you add that. Well, the Mincha, so now since it's considered a Tainis that people accept it, and you have a minion of people fasting, presumably, the Mincha Vayichal, Dear Shu, that means the Haftorah of Tainis Sibur, and Aneinu, and all that. And then he goes on to say, why do we do this? Why do we fast? And he gives us the reason that we saw in source number one from the Rebbe of the Maharil. So, Kach Mis'anin, Fishas Shana Aruka, Yesh Yosin, Chatzi Shana, Bein Bahab, Shemisana Machasukus, Bahab, Shemisana Chapesach. So, since you have a greater amount of time, so that's why they injected these, you might say, eight. If you include the Tzav, it's 8 Tanesim. If it's just the Mishpatim, it's 6 Tanesim. Now, he doesn't tell you why Thursday. Why not Monday? Why not both Monday and Thursday? But he does give you a little bit more in the realm of details that we saw based on what we saw earlier. Another source, source number 3, again, all from the same basic period of the Rishonim, the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshin was the Leket Yosher. And he talks about what he remembers as a minug in his area, minug be'ushtreich, b'shnasa ibor. Notice so far everyone is talking about the leap year because of the extra stretch of time that you have between the Bahab of after Sukkot and Bahab of after Pesach. He says, I remember the minug was, shmis anim ches taniyos, umis chilin parshas shmos b'yom hei, and then de'achakach b'chol yom hei ad parshas tetzaveh, b'simin lehem, b'sim leo taniyos shobavim tat. So he doesn't tell you Mishpatim and Yesh Omrim Truma Tetzaveh. He tells you right off the bat it's from Shmos to Tetzaveh, and he tells you it's 8. Not 6 or 8, it's 8. Ubechoshna Se'ibor, it goes on with a little more detail. Ubechoshna Se'ibor, Harav, HaKohol, Mekablim, Ila, Tanis. They were very serious Tanis. So the Mekabu, the Tanis, the Chatzah, Beis HaKnesses, in the courtyard, I don't know why the courtyard exactly, the Parshas, the Shabbos Vayechi, because it's starting off. Just like you might say in Shul, you hear today the little vestige of the Bahab is that we have the Misha Berach that said on the Shabbos before this, you know, the Bahab begins. So there's an announcement, Misha Berach, Hu Yivarach, has commissioned the Kabbalah, is Anos Tainis Bahab. There's a formal element of Kabbalah's Tainis or acknowledging a Kabbalah's Tainis of sorts. So too is here as well. The Parshas Vayechi, the Shabbos preceding the first of these, let's say, 8 Tanesim, there was a formal Kabbalah's Tainis, the Chatzah Beis HaKnesses, I don't know why the Chatzah again, Umasneh, but now he also brings you the possibility of what if there's a conflict because of a day that you can't fast. Because notice, you have over these couple of weeks, you can have a Rosh Chodesh that could fall out on a Thursday, or Tu B'Shvat could fall out on a Thursday, which are days that you're not supposed to fast. Umasneh, Imbo Yom Tov. Yom Tov, of course, would have to mean Rosh Chodesh or Tu B'Shvat. I don't know what else it could mean. There isn't any other any other Yom Tov. But if you have something like that, Yom Hei, Shis Anu B'Yom Beis Kodin Yom Hei. So you have the substitute being a Monday. Okay. Okay, I suppose you might, maybe you're right, maybe Bris Mila. Okay, interesting. Or what?
Purim Katan.
Purim cotton
could be.
Yeah, good, good. Okay, excellent. Okay, this is all. These are all more or less the period of the Rishonim. Now we're moving a little bit closer to the Achronim, early Achronim. The Matei Moshe is the end of the 1500s. Talmud of the Maharshal. Notice so far what we have in common is everything has to do with Shana Mu'ubaris. Everything has to do with the fact that you want to add some Tanesim because of the length of the year and the difference in time between one Bahab and the other, and some other details that we've seen as well. And the focus on the Thursday, we're not sure why, so far, why Thursday. But that's what we have seen so far. The Matin Moshe, Talmud and Marshal. The Ibor, again, Shana Mu'ubaris, Ibor, Tainus, Ipsim, and Shogavim. He goes back to Shogavim, and V'yeshomim, this is what we saw in the earlier source of the Yisrael Mitir, now V'yeshomim, Gam, Chumetetzavim. Then he adds another possibility. For the first time, this is not something we noticed in the Rishonim before. Mariv of Betzalish, I'm not sure who he's referring to, Shamati Gam, Kaf, Vav, Hey. In other words, finish Sefer Shmos. You have Shogavim, Ta, Kuf. Kuf, not Kuf, the letter Kuf, and not, you know, kuf, vav, pei, and I pronounce it, kof, kuf, but not kof as in monkey, right? Kuf, kof, or kuf, with a kuf, vav, pei. Perish, kisisa, that's the kuf of the kuf is kisisa, vayakel pikude. So now for the first time, we're actually going through the entire Sefer Shemot. This is quite interesting. Again, so it wouldn't be etanesim, it would therefore be 11. The kol yom hei misanim. And again, more of the details of how it works. The Kohen Pasha says Shavua Shachris, as we saw before, he's basically echoing what we saw, and Shema Yisrael, B'mincha Baichal V'dirshu. And again, he tells you the reason that we do the fast is because the year is longer, and therefore we add fast. So according to this, the numbers are really not so significant in terms of, you know, 8. It could be 8, it could be 11. It's basically adding more opportunities for fast. Why Thursday? And not Monday and Thursday, well, if it's going to be a stretch of weeks, maybe you just don't want to be too harsh on people and having fast. You know, Bahab is just, you know, three times, you know, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Here, if you wanted to sort of create that bridge between one Bahab and the other, and you want it, it's better to have every week one fast than to sort of bunch it together, maybe. I don't know. And then he throws in the possibility of doing it for an extra three times. The Levush, this is all the same period. The Levush is the same time as the Maharshal. So again, we're talking about the 1500s into the 1600s. He's the first one that I found that really begins to elaborate a lot more. And then, of course, the Arizal takes it, as we'll soon see, in a whole different direction. But he begins to lay the groundwork for some more of the ideas that evolve into what Shovavim and Shovim Tat are symbolizing for us. Yesh Mekomos. Shenoagim b'shnasa ibor l'kfuat tainus b'chol yom chamishi l'parsha shovavim tat. He goes back to shovavim tat, doesn't tell you any other options, and he tells you what shovavim tat stands for. V'korim b'shachris, as we saw before, parsha shavua v'mincha korim b'yichal. The noagim came because the year is a longer year. Fine, so far everything that we've seen already. Ulekach, now on the third line at the end of the line. Ulekach mis'ane ches yonim. So he's sure about 8 days. From Shmos until Tetzaveh. Why 8? Keneged HaChodesh HaIvor. Okay, we're adding an extra month. If you were to fast Monday, Thursday over the extra month, you would have 8 Tanesim. So Keneged, the 8 of Monday, Thursday of Chodesh HaIvor, we stretch out 8 Tanesim from Shmos till Tetzaveh. Sheudalit Shavuos, B'chol Shavuah Beis Yomim, Beis Vehei. But Kadesh, Shaloga Hach, so why do it that way? Why not just bunch together, you know, over 4 weeks, you know, Beis Vehei, you know, do it over 4 weeks, do 8 Tanesim over 4 weeks, why do it this way over 8 weeks? Shaloga Hachbid Alat Sibur Cholkum, the Emes Anan Elapam Achas B'Shavua. So easier to fast 1 day a week than twice a week. And it's also easier to fast in the winter. Travis, that's another advantage, but either way, you know, it's still the winter, so 8 weeks. Od shamati tam achem, something else. V'hu ki ro hakadmonenu, who he's referring to, I don't know, sha'anoshim hamu'ubaros, hayu alugim rahapil ubreyen v'shanin hamu'ubaros. Something about, again, Maybe you can enlighten me more on this. Somehow the idea of a leap year, the Rosh Hashanah Me'uberes, has some relationship to women who are expecting. In fact, you call a woman who's expecting a woman who's Me'uberes, there's more of a risk. You're more concerned that there shouldn't be Chas V'Shalom a miscarriage in a leap year, you know, as opposed to a non-leap year. Interesting. So, therefore, Tiknu is Anos Ewa Ches Tanesim Kineged Kol Beis Beheshel Chodesh Ha'ibor Mishum Enoshen Hamubaros Shelo Yapilu. So there's another concern, and that has to do, you might begin to sort of think about this in terms of the nature of birth, and that the baby should be safe. If that's the reason, again, we don't understand fully what the connection is, but obviously much here in Kabbalah, v'nira li shalfizeh hatam asishapir tfei, makes more sense, masheshchilu l'sanos v'parshas Shmos. Why do we start with Shmos? Until now we haven't really figured it out. Okay, it's sort of in the middle between Sukkot and Pesach. I'll tell you why. Mishum sha'osa parshas v'vaderes v'piryam v'rivyam sha'yisrael. Right? Uvnei so paro v'yishritzu. And it became very numerous. And therefore, dafka, how appropriate, you want to offer this tefillah in the form of a tainis for on behalf of women who are expecting, kach mispalin gam kein shegam achshav yifru v'yirbu bo yapilu. And he says, with this, I understand something else. Why did we say that in the morning we read Parshas HaShavuah? If it's a time of Sibur, then it should have Vayichal not just at Mincha, but also in Shacharis, as we know, typically by every time of Sibur, and if people accepted it, let's say Bahab, so I would imagine they would also do it in the morning to read Vayichal. And that would preempt the Parshas HaShavuah. So the Thursday of these weeks, why not read Vayichal just like we do it at Mincha, do it at Shacharis? He says, I'll tell you why. Mitam ze gamkin lo nagu likros bepoker parshas atainis yo vayichal parshas shavua kde likros osa parshas shebitchilas shemos biyom atainis harishon, because we want to begin on the right foot to highlight the pasuk of nei so par vayishritzu, and once you're going to read parshas shavua on the first Thursday of the series of taneisim, so then kivan sheeschilu kei nagu kach kol taneisim. So now you're not going to say, okay, start next week we're going to go do vayichal in the morning. Once you're doing shemos Parshas HaShavua in the first of the eight Tanaisim, then we follow through with the same pattern of the Parshas HaShavua. Okay, this is another dimension that has the Levush has brought into the equation.
Was this a Kabbalah thing, or was it because of the climate of the Shnas Yibur?
I think it for sure has to do with Kabbalah. It may also have to do with other things. It has to do with Inyanim. Again, I can't really be, I'm not in a position to speak more about it, but they connect it to. We'll soon see evidence in the Shulah about this. The Shnas Halavana, Shnas Hachama, the fact that they're not in sync is why we need to have Hashanah Me'uberes. And that goes back to the Pasuk in Yom Rabbi of creation, Yehi Ma'oros B'Kiyah HaShemayim. Rashi quotes in Chazal, the Ma'oros is written without a Vav, Chasevav, Shelo Yipu Me'era B'Tinokos. So there shouldn't be Chas V'Shalom, a curse involving the infants and so on. I believe that there's a connection there. The Ma'oros is Milosh and Me'era, which means curse, and Ma'oros is written Chasivav, and has to do with the luminaries, the sun and the moon, and the fact that we have Maragad, Marakatan, and the fact that we have to now align the lunar calendar and the solar calendar has association with that Chazal. Again, what it all means, I can't tell you, but these are the Kabbalistic components. But as you say, there's also some kind of practical explanation. I'm certainly open to hearing it. But this clearly was some kind of a discussion that Shana Me'uberes and women who are expecting, so there's a relationship.
Does that have anything to do with the vote? In the end of source 3, it says, Melame Chiesh Lo Vav Shavos.
I don't know. I think that's different. I think it's a different point in terms of the.
The teachers.
Yeah, teachers for the Melamdim. Okay, yeah, source number 6, we still have a lot of course to go to, see how many we can do inside. There's a collection of Minhagim of Frankfurt that was written in the Sefer Noe Katzon Yosef, again, established Minhagim, and he talks about the Minhag of Shovavim and fasting on Thursday. He explains why Thursday. Mitzad Hadin Hayolahem Yom Beis, as we know, like Bahab, we start on a Monday, and also Shavisa Magdimin. But he tells you something else interesting, something along the lines of the Lubush, with a little bit of a different angle. Why Thursday? He says, look at creation. What happened on Thursday? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a bracha to fish. And the bracha was, Pru Urvu Umilu Esamayim Bayamin. And all the whole bracha Pruervu is associated with that bracha of Dagim, as we had in the last week's parasha when Yaakov Vino told Ephraim Menashe Beyidgu Garo Bekerab Ha'aretz. And that's because fish are known for their amazing rate of procreation, right? Beyidgu Garo Bekerab Ha'aretz. And the fish received that bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself on Yom Chamishi. So again, he says that's why we would choose Yom Chamishi as the day for the fast, because we're talking about the women who are expecting to have children, more children, the more children, the better, part of Yishvitzu, and the Brach of Dagen is associated with that idea of Puravu. It's again fascinating insights that again take it beyond what we saw in the earlier Rishonim that bring in this dimension of children being born into the world and perhaps segueing into the notion of Kedusha, as we'll soon see, which is, of course, what brings children into the world. The Eliyahu Rabba, with the commentary on the Levush, why we start from Pasha Shmos, because the Pasuk tells us in Pasha Shmos, Hinei Tzakas B'nei Yisrael Bo Elai, Hashem says, I hear the cries of B'nei Yisrael, and it tells Hashem, tells Moshe, I'm going to send you to redeem Klal Yisrael. Okay? So it doesn't really explain what it means, but the idea that Hashem hears Tfilos, that's a nice Pasuk, a nice idea, and we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear our Tadeis and our Tfilos, fine. Why do we end after Tetzaveh? So now he introduces something more. Ad Pashas Kisisa, right? Till Tetzaveh, and then we end there. Dimashmin al Ashkalim. What comes Kisisa? Typically, now it's interesting. Until now, talking about Shana Mulberes. This would not necessarily be the case for Shana Mulberes. Typically, Kisisa may not be Shkalim, but it is the Pasha that talks about Shkalim. Okay, so you have that. He says, Mashmin al Ashkalim. Okay, not exactly what we think about Mashmin al Ashkalim, is the Pasha Shkalim. But it's the section that we would read as Pasha Shkolin, whenever that is. It could be Mishpatim, it could be whenever. And that's the notion of Staka. Staka is itself a Machater, and that's in lieu of a Tainus. So since we're associating ourselves with Staka, we don't need the actual Tainus. We have the Staka in place of Tainus. And then he has another point about why on Yom Hei, you notice that the Anshi Maimed that used to daven every day, a group of people that used to daven with the Karban Tamid, would also fast on Yom Hei, and so on. Then he says at the very end something interesting. Suppose there's a Rosh Chodesh or a Tu B'Shvat, doesn't talk about a Bris, but that is built into the calendar, which falls out on a Thursday. So until now we saw one option, move it up to Monday. He tells you, I'll tell you what to do. You have two more weeks in Sefer Shmos, so do it before Vayakel and before Pekudei. He told Yashkalim, so you don't need to do it. So he says, okay, so you'll have Tiltet Saban to make up for the Tu B'Shvat Rosh Chodesh, you'll do for the Thursday of Vayakel Pekudei. He's very much connecting to Thursday, so he doesn't want you doing Monday, he wants to stick with Thursday, but do it, be mashim a different Thursday. Okay. B'Shla Kadosh has introducing Parsha Shmos, he tells you, I'm going to talk about all this right now as one unit, they're all connected to each other, Bishnasa Ibor, Shederach Yisrael, this is the norm, in Klal Yisrael, it's Orer Bahem B'Darkei Tshuva B'Yeses Eis. There's a special emphasis on Tshuva, he's pushing it away from Tainus to Tshuva, K'muska B'Dibi Kadmonim V'Achronim, B'Rupa Miskiru Parsha Shovevim Levad, the Haboy Macharei Mosifu Old Biyoser Biyeser Seis Old Parshas Tumet Tzave the Hamosif Bitshuva Yosifu Old Menashemayim, and therefore I'm looking at all these parshas together. His focus here is Tshuva. The Magen Avraham. Now we get to on the Shulchan Aruch. Magen Avraham Tafresh Pehei. He cites the Minog. Yesh Noagin B'Shana Meuberes. So the Magen Avraham is unequivocal. He doesn't say Shovim Yesh Omim Tat. He says Shovim Tat. Likvoa Tainus B'Yom Hei. The Yesh Omim, this is something new. Gam Parshas V'Yakel Pekude. What happened to Kisisa? So we have the source earlier in the Eliyahu Rabba that says Kisisa doesn't need a fast because you have elements of staka there, right, in the beginning of the parasha. He only gave you the option of B'yakeh Pekudei as a substitute. The Yesh Omim of the Magen Avraham, I'm not sure his source, is Yesh Omim, Tumut Tzav, and then B'yakeh Pekudei as well. He doesn't say, we did see he sees Rabbi Yaakov Kudeh in the Matthew and Moshe, I think. But the Magen Avraham is saying Yesh Omen, Yaakov Kudeh doesn't say Kisisa Yaakov, it says Yaakov Kudeh. But again, all that Shanim Uberes comes the Prima Gadim and says, what we are perhaps familiar with, many of us, Shovavim Tat Bimuberes. The Yesh Nogim Bipshuta Shovavim, Bimuberes Shovavim Tat. A whole new way to align it. That there's always going to be a Shovavim, and then Shanim Uberes we add to. I guess the simple rationale could be, based on what we've seen so far, is because of the extra gap, so we the extra amount of time, so we add two more tanaisim. But this is what the Prima Gadit says. But clearly, the emphasis very much has been on Shlomo Uberes until now. Okay, you see more details. Shari Tshuva talks about what happens if you have a conflict with Rosh Chodesh or Tu B'Shvat or Purim Katan, as was mentioned before, and what do you do at that point? And he discusses different possibilities along the lines of what we've seen so far, different possibilities. The Arizal took this inyan, which was not his own invention. When I mentioned this to someone, my son-in-law was speaking on the phone, he assumed, oh, the Arizal was everything about Shavuot. Arizal means all over. Not really so. The Arizal took this old minhag, as you can see in Rav Chaim Vital's writings here, Inyan HaShovim HaNodaim SheYesh Minhag Kadum. Now, what is this minakadim of the Arizal? He says something beyond anything we actually have seen before. So this must have been a minakadim within certain circles, not as widespread as what was recorded before. Lis anos mem yamim b'tzufim, 40 consecutive days. Now, I assume this does not include Shabbos. Obviously, we're talking about 6 days, break for Shabbos, another 6 days, and then you're going to get to 40 days. Now, what about Rosh Chodesh? What about Tu B'Shvat? Obviously, you're going to have to skip that too, Mr. Stuff. But Mem Yom Mitzufim Sheyesh. But when do you start? So until now, he said 1 day a week. We don't want to make it too hard on people. Well, there he's out. He has an issue, you know. Yesh Min Yom Rishon. So we're already too late, you know. We're already 2 days too late. Yom Rishon of Parshas Shmos Ad Parshas Truma. And I have to figure out. You have 40 days, so you know Shemos is 6 until the era, till Bo, Bisharach, that's now 36. And then you have Yisro Mishpatim. No, 6, 6, 6, and 6 is now, it's where am I? 24. And then another 2 weeks would be 36. You're still short to 40, right? So that's why you have to go into Truma, right? So, am I right? Making the right question? Shmos, Ba'er, Bo, Bishaf, Yisam, Mishpatim, that'll give you 36. Assuming you have 6 days in each of those weeks. Now you're already going into Truma to get to the 40. And if you had a Rosh Chodesh, you have to account for it. So this is what he's saying. We're going into Truma to get to 40. And maybe into Tetzaveh. Uksasmin Tetzaveh. Why does he say that? Tetzasmin Tetzaveh? We have to do our math better. Okay. And Simin is Shuvanim Shuvavim, that's the expression Shuvavim, there's a pasuk in Nach, Shuvanim Shuvavim. Now, says Yavizal, his angle is what we're familiar with. This was considered to be a very severe Avera, and this requires various tikkunim, and this is what you have in a lot of the Kabbalistic literature and Hasidic Svarim, especially by Rav Nachman and others. Avon HaKeri. And this is a chance to metakein these averos connected to Keri, and this is very much in the realm of Kabbalah, he says, connecting to Golas Mitzrayim, Bechomer Bilvanim. Okay, I'm going to just sort of pass over the next couple of lines. He brings a Gemara, he doesn't quote Erev and Yudches, that's where he's going on. Adam HaRishon for 130 years after the Gzeira, after the Cheder Beis Hadas, it says he was Horesh Mi'ishto. He did not have Shais until 130, Kedmuso Kitsalmo, but during those 130 years, says Gemara Erev and Yudches and Beis, he was Motzi Zerav Atala Ba'ones, words in the Gemara, again, very, very mystical Gemara, and he was Moed Shaden Deruchin to Tipos Keri, whatever these spirits that were coming out, and that was all Nitkad and Golas Mitzrayim. Okay, this is all very much in the realm of Kabbalah, and this is weird for why these Tanaisim associated with this. This is not anything that we've seen until the Arizal, this whole angle. The fact that there's 40 days of fasting in this period, that I did find evidence to. In the next source, you'll see of Yosef Cairo, of course, a contemporary of the Arizal in that same period of Tzfat, there was a sefer called Magid Mesharim, where we know that Yosef Cairo had a Magid who would come to him regularly and would talk to him and teach him things and give him Musar. And it's a strange sefer, but it's a very, very interesting sefer. He writes one of the points in Parshas Truma. He says, now you have completed your 40 days, consecutive days of fasting, keneged the 40 days of Yetziras Havlad, that's why 40. And he says, even though you really were, you were cheating a little bit, you know, you should have been more disciplined, you were taking too much hanaf in this world, but l'maisa, you did your 40 days of fasting, and they were during the Parshas of Shovavim, this Kavlu. So he talks about 40 days of fasting within the period of Shogadim. So clearly what Arizal was drawing on was obviously the mystical tradition, which you see mentioned here in the Beis Yosef, in the Sefer of the Beis Yosef. Of course, this Arizal became now very much itself part of the Masorah, if you will, in terms of Sifrei Halacha. So the Chidah, of course, who knew everything in terms of where he's drawing from. See, he quotes the Levush of the Minig of the eight fasts over these weeks. And he gave his reasons, and not some time about that. Ukvar noda, says the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, shaminik hatanis eilu l'tikun akari v'kayotze, kem before some, he says, v'sifi musa v'kabbalah. That's where you go for that. And he says, some have this minig of fasting. We saw 40 days as a long stretch of fasting. Tzarchus anus peidavid talios v'tzufim. Can you imagine this? 40 days consecutive, 84 days consecutive. Okay, you're a little weaker in your composition. We'll let you off the hook with 40 days of fasting. So there's all these inyanim about tikkun of this inyan. Now, what about when you fast? So until now, we saw very much of an emphasis on shanim ulberes. Says the Chidah, these minhagim of fasting is every year. Ella, so the shanim ulberes mitakim yoser. So he brings Machayim Vital that there's more of a tikkun in Shana Mulberes. But in terms of maybe moving it away from Taniyos, he says, the more that person can exercise discipline and do things in moderation, and whatever elements of Chumrah have having to do with going beyond the letter of the law, these are days that are appropriate for that, the Engla Harach Khan. And the Ber Hetiv, which you find in the Shulchan Aruch, in Open the Mishnah Berurah, you see the Ber Hetiv, Kosef Harizal, Shiyam El Tzugalim, with Takin Abon Keri, Yosim Mikol Hashana. Okay, I'm not going to read you the entire selection from the Shula here on page 4. You can read it on your own. The Shula focuses on Tshuva, aspects of Tshuva, and he lines it up with the Parashios. In the beginning paragraph, however, he does deal with Shalom Uberes. And in his own way, also talks about how Shanim Uberes is a year that is trying to bring out a tshuva that is connected to the Likui Halavana, which is why we need a Shanim Uberes, which is why there's a special inyan of tshuva, just a little way to also associate it with. We know when we daven Rosh Chodesh in Musaf, we add two words and a Shanim Uberes, Luchaparas Kasha, which also has to do with the fact that there's some greater need for tikkun and tshuva and kapara during these years, and there's various explanations given for that, but on a Kabbalah level, it's also because of this inyan of the Shalom Uberes requiring a greater form of tikkun, which is connecting as well to what we're discussing. Okay, so anyway, the end of the last paragraph, though, he does line up the parashios from Shmos to Tzav. He talks about how they come in pairs, and he gives you the remez of Shovavim Tat, and he also notes at the very end that Shovavim Tat, the Tat, could be a remez to Talmud Torah, a remez to Tshuva Tefillah, and also a remez to Tzedakah, because Tat is like Tate, to give Tzedakah. So it's Tshuva, Shovavim is people who are wayward children, Banim Shovavim, and Tat having to do with these various elements of Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, and Talmud Torah. The Shem Shmuel on Surah 17, okay, that's what he's talking about, Chet HaYadua. The Yeshem is Anim Ve'osim Sigufim, they're those who fast, maybe 40, maybe 84, who knows, maybe only Thursdays. But he says, you know what, from the name of his father-in-law, the Kashka Rebbe, In other words, his grandfather. Mutav sheyomar kol echad nafsho mutav ishtab beisa shel Torah tzantim is kol maisav shubderach haTorah. The real discipline is about channeling everything you do in the Derech HaTorah below Ishtabi L'Taneisim. Some people think that Tainus is a shortcut. You can do what you want, and basically you fast, and somehow you're all forgiven. No, it's really about working on yourself. Kimo Shehigit Prod Kedushas Keini HaAdmar Gado, that's the Kotzke Rebbe, Shehahiluch B'Derech HaTorah Hu HaGado Shebesiguf Muguf, Akan Dvarav. The greatest way of self-affliction is to work on yourself, to go with Erech HaTorah. Umuvan sha'ish ha'sam shichmo, a person who puts on his shoulder, disciplines himself. L'shtabe l'Torah hein b'igiyas halimud. And this is something you find in some svarim as well, b'chidush svarim. The idea, I'm going to see in a minute within the Graz school as well, but you see even within the Chassidish svarim, the emphasis shouldn't be less on tainus and more on applying yourself to Talmud Torah v'yigiyah rabba with tremendous intensity. V'yigiyas halimud heim v'tzimtzum teluchas ma'isa v'derech haTorah mo'ul yosim v'kol sigufei haguf. And I want to mention this because it's important, especially for younger people, when they think about these inyanim, and then I'll tell you what I want to add on my own, a little thought that we'll get to in a minute. But the whole inyan of tshuva for the chet hayadua can be a very, very challenging and complicated parasha, because on the one hand, you look at some svarim, look at things like we read now, the Arizal, you read at the Open Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and you imagine, like, you know, you must be the biggest sinner in the world because of this and that happened, and you feel guilty, and it leads to all kinds of terrible, crushing feelings. And the question is what to do with this, because on the one hand, you have sources that speak to this inyan as a very terrible aveira, on the other hand, there is what what seems to be basically part of human nature, and sometimes even if it's based on thoughts and things that come to us, that's also something that just happens because you're walking in the street and whatever, and things occur to you, and then results occur. And the question is what to do with all of this. It's a major discussion, and I will share with you something that just came to my mailbox yesterday. This is a publication called Hamayan, which is published in Eretz Yisrael comes out of Kibbutz Shalavim. It was originally under the auspices of Poel Agudas Yisrael. It exists for decades already. So it's always interesting articles, and I actually have a sefer of mine that's reviewed in this volume as well, a recent sefer, but that's probably why he sent me the copy. In this particular issue, Teves Tavshinayim Tess, there is an article by Rabbi Dr. Yitzchak Avi Rones in Eretz Yisrael, and his title is Al Hayachas Haraui L'Ri'iyas Mikrei Laila, the basic Russian Shel Abra V'Talmidav, on the appropriate relationship to how a person should think about having had internal emissions through the lens of the Beis Midrash of the Gra. And he quotes many, many interesting sources, and the common denominator is, I have two sources here which you can look at, but the basic approach is that the way that the Gra and Chaim Belashner and many of the Gedolim within the yeshivas of Lita have looked at this issue is that you should not dwell on it. You should not clap al chait every single minute of your day. The more that one focuses on it, the more that you're making things, you can make things worse and be counterproductive. Yes, what's written is written, but the way that one deals with it is dafka hesach hadas. Hesach hadas meaning channeling everything into more intensified Torah and tefillah. And you see in one sentence in the Chaim Belashner's Hanhagas Hagra, tshuva l'nichshol mevon keri kimat bepesha. Not talking about total onus either. Kishosik b'Torah ein tzarich l'dokhal. There's a koach of Torah. Torah elevates a person. Rav Volbi has many letters on this topic to people who he's giving advice to. This is just one among many selections, and you have in this article other examples of how he wrote about it and spoke about it. He writes here, in a letter published in Alei Shulchan Aruch Aleph, a person should not get depressed. He's concerned about how it makes a person depressed, and he says that is the worst thing that a person should feel. It's something that we realize sometimes it's beyond our control. The way to respond is to learn Torah besimcha, and to believe that Torah has a power to elevate a person above this type of avera. So the tikkun, as the this school would have it, is not to get involved with panesim, but rather to involve ourselves in thoughts of Torah and thoughts of kedusha. It's important to see that in, as part of the larger picture here. The Arizal, notwithstanding, and of course in some parts of Klal Yisrael, they will go with the Arizal, and especially the rest of it's very much involved with these types of inyanim. And of course, not to diminish, not to say that we shouldn't work on ourselves in terms of Shmiras Einayim and Kedusha, of course. But in terms of how we look at it as the need for a tikkun, that's where I think we have to think about what approach would be most appropriate. And here's where I think you have to really think about the Gra and the various Gedolim that follow in that path, the emphasis being intensified learning. And if you're going to go with that approach, then what these days should be designated for should be learning the Hasmada Rava, to really allow ourselves to feel connected to Torah in the deepest of ways, to learn Torah B'iyun. That's really the, if you talk about how we could apply these ideas for us and not think about having to fast, but rather to be within the spirit of the Arizal and how he was looking at these days as a tikkun for the Chet HaYadua, the answer would be to put ourselves and apply ourselves to learning in a way that we wouldn't have been doing otherwise. Okay, so with that in mind, I want to leave you with the following machshava. So we talked about different perspectives about why we use these weeks, from Shemos till Tetzaveh, maybe Vayakha Pekudeh could be also possibly part of it, and exactly what the connection would be. We saw various ideas. It occurred to me as follows. The Pasuk tells us in Parshas Vayigash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, you're going to Mitzrayim, I'm with you. I'm going down with you, and I'm coming back up with you. Very powerful words. Anochi Erenecha Mitzrayim, Anochi Alcha Gam Alo. So the Pasuk Pshat can be seen in terms of Yaakov Avinu being buried, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, in Maris HaMach Pelah, like we read about Parshas Vayechi. But the other idea that the Rebbeinu Bechaya brings out, Aderech HaKabbalah, and the Ramban is Meramis to this as well, hints to this as well, is as follows. There's a concept called Shechinta v'Galusa. Kal Yisrael, wherever they are, Kadosh Baruch Hu is with them. The Shechina, which is a certain aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you might say, k'v'yachol, is with your Kal Yisrael. And that's what it means, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayimah, Remez L'Shechina Sheyarda Imahem L'Mitzrayim, as the Gemara tells us in Megillah, and Mechilta tells us, Galu L'Mitzrayim Shechina Imahem, and that's why Unklis says, Ana Echos, not like he sometimes translates Ered as to reveal myself, but Echos, I will come down, because literally the Shechina was with Kal Yisrael. And the Rebbe Chai goes on to say that the hey, Mitzrayma, with the extra hey, has to do with the Shechina. Okay, this is Al-Pi Kabbalah. Now, Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, and they experienced, of course, the Geula, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, and they built the Mishkan. The Ramban explains that the goal of everything in Yetzias Mitzrayim had to do with building the Mishkan. And that's why the Sefer of Shemos culminates not with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but with the Mishkan. We call Sefer Shemos Sefer HaGeula, but the Geula is defined by the fact that the Shechina rested on the Mishkan and by extension on Klal Yisrael in the fullest way. Now, in order for this reality to be so, there has to be some element on the part of Klal Yisrael to be receptacles for the Shechina, we might say, to rest on them. And there's a fascinating series of comments of Chazal that speak to a certain aspect of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim that allowed them to be, you might say, the Merkava for the Shechina in the following way. The Pasuk tells us in Shir HaMalos, Kuf Chav Beis, the third of the Shir HaMalos, talking about Yerushalayim and Aliyah L'Regel and the Shvatim, who came up to Yerushalayim in the following way. Shesham al shvatim shiftei ka edus li Yisrael. The shvatim are referred to as shiftei ka. two letters in Hashem's name, and right after that comes Eidus LeYisrael. There are various Chazal that speak about the connection, the juxtaposition between Shiftei Ka and Eidus LeYisrael in the following way. Shiftei Ka means that Hashem rests His Shechina on Ka Yisrael, and two of His letters are the letters of Ka. And Eidus LeYisrael means that this is a testifying testament to the fact that Ka Yisrael remained pure in the realm of Kedusha. Rashi says, how so? Rashi quotes in Parshas Pinchas, when you look at the families that are mentioned there, that of each Shevet, there always is a hey in the beginning of the name, Hachanochi, the hey, and then the yud at the end, Hachanochi, Hapalui, and so on and so forth. Says Rashi, Shiftei Ka, Rashi quotes on the Pasuk and also in Parshas Pinchas, Shiftei Ka is an Eidus LeYisrael. The nations of the world had rumors that were spreading about Ka Yisrael as they left Mitzrayim. You think these people are really the descendants of their forebears of Yitzchak and Yaakov? 210 years in Mitzrayim, they're assimilated. Can you imagine whose child? Who knows who the mother is, who the father is? They've lost their entire connection. If Megufam HaYishotim HaMitzrayim, B'Nishoseim L'Koshikein, if their bodies were subjugated to the labor of being an avodim in Mitzrayim, then certainly their whole family life was disrupted. Who knows who lived with who? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, ani meid aleihem she'em b'nevoseihem. I can testify that they are, in fact, the true continuation of Yitzchak and Yaakov. And that's what the Yud and the K of Hashem's name are, Veini v'Shimoni, and so quotes Rashi in Parshas Pinchas. The Umos are saying, how are you creating a lineage here with your Shvatim? How could that be? It's not real. And the answer is Yud and K, Husha Mefurash Adi David Shivdei Ka Eidus LeYisrael. And so you have it as well in the Medrash Tehillim. There was one exception, and the exception proves the rule. Who is the exception? Shlomis Bas Divri Lemati Dan. As we know, there was one exception that Torah publicizes that there was some intermingling, and you had the father being an Ish, Huben Ish Mitzvi. There was a Jewish woman with an Egyptian husband, and the child was born from that union, and that's the only case in the entire Ka Yisrael Mitzvayim that this occurred. Everyone else was able to maintain, under the circumstances of being Avodim Mitzvayim, they maintained the family lineage, the Kedusha. And so the Gemara says as follows in Kedusha, also using this Pasuk. When a person gets married, what should they be looking for? Should they just be blinded by the beauty, by physical features, or should they be looking at more substantive qualities, character, and so on, values? Says the Gemara, and this is of course going to the essence of what Kedusha is all about. Says the Gemara, Kohanosi Isha She'en Al Geneslo, a person marries a woman that's not appropriate. Kishakash Baruch Hu Mashu Shechinaso Meir Al Kosh Shvatim Ein Meir Olam. It's as if Hashem would be bearing testimony on all the Shvatim, my presence is on you, but not on you. The Shechina cannot dwell if there's a lack of Kedusha. And therefore, Ema Sehavi Eidus LeYisrael Bizman Sheh Shvatim Shiftei Ka. And the Gemara continues, Kishakash Baruch Hu Mashu Shechinaso Ein Mashu El HaMishpachos Miuchasos Shebi Yisrael. And here is what I believe is happening in terms of why we focus on Yoni Kedusha during these weeks that bridge Parshas Shmos through to Tzaveh. Because as the Ramban points out, as I alluded to earlier, the Ramban says, what was the culmination of Geulas Mitzrayim? It's not just leaving Mitzrayim. Because the essence of Geula is to have the Mishkan, and with the Mishkan, V'shava Kadosh Baruch Hu U'mash V'hishra Shechinaso Beinehem. And that brings us back to the Ma'ala of the Avos, who are viewed as the Merkava. They carry Kaviyachol Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, and that's why the Sefer ends at the end of Pekudei with the Mishkan and the Kvod Hashem resting on the Mishkan. Now you could say if that's the case, it really is Pekudei. But what's the first place that we begin to see the theme of Ashrayas HaShechina with the Mishkan? That's in Truma Tetzaveh. In Truma, we have the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, and the Torah states, V'asuli migdash v'shachanti v'socham, which is Shechina resting with Ka Yisrael. And then you have the first, in beginning of Tetzaveh, the beginning of Tetzaveh, the Torah talks about the menorah. And the menorah is considered Paroches HaEdus, And the Gemara tells us, in connection to a different pasuk in Parshas Emor, but a similar idea, that the edus of the menorah is Shashchina Shora B'Yisrael. And to bring us back to Parshas Shemos, in other words, from Shemos to Tetzaveh, is basically all one idea, is the pasuk in Tetzaveh, source 29, where the pasuk tells us, after going through all the basic kelim of the Mikdash, and it talks there, B'shachanti B'soch B'nei Yisrael V'Yisrael Elokim, I rest my presence among Kai Yisrael, V'yadu, K'ani Hashem Elokeim, Asher Tseisi Osam Me'eretz Mitzayim V'shachni B'sochem. What was the goal of everything? As Ramban already said in the beginning, in his introduction to Shemos, it's for this ultimate purpose of L'shachni B'sochem. So you might argue that the reason why we have this period of history, not just because it's a good break between Bahab of Sukkot, Bahab of Pesach, but this particular window is designated for focusing on elements of Kedusha. Kedusha includes, of course, being Amel B'Torah, as we said before. But the whole element of Kedusha is really what you have building up from Shemos until Tetzaveh, which is the first mention of the notion of Hashvas Hashchina as the end point for Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you have to end bringing B'Yakov B'Kuda, you can do it, because it's all part of the same idea, because again, talks about the Mishkan. Kisisa Dafka doesn't talk about the Mishkan very much. Just the very beginning has a few things that connect to the Mishkan, and then the rest is really narrative. Chet HaEgel and what came afterwards. But the Mishkan, the idea of Hashvas Hashchina, is really rooted in Truma Tetzaveh V'Yakov B'Kuda. So perhaps the idea of taking these weeks and creating the framework for building Kedusha is because the Kedusha is what brings out the concept that Kodesh Baruch Hu is resting His Shechina on us. And even if we may be less than perfect in all kinds of ways, but one thing we have to try to work on, and that is the Yanam of Kedusha, as you see, Kai Yisrael Mitzrayim, despite their failings, despite the fact that they may have even been of the Avodah Zarah, but they had certain redeeming qualities. Chazal try to identify them, and one of them is the fact that they maintain the Taras HaMishpacha, the sense of Yichus, and this is all connected to Inyanim that we're talking about in terms of the element of Kedushas Yisrael. I see we're almost out of time. I will leave you the following interesting comment of the Noda B'Yehuda at the very end in terms of relating to the notion of Kedusha. So the Noda B'Yehuda quotes Emor Nevuchin of the Rambam. Don't know, the Yehuda was famous for opposing the recitation of the Shem Yichud, which is, of course, a very big part of, you know, of the Hasidish Minhagim, to bring out an extra element of preparing for a mitzvah. And yet, what do these words mean after all? Shem Yichud, Kusha Bruchu, Shchinte. So, the Yehuda, in two different shuvas, doesn't think it's necessary. But meanwhile, he does address what these ideas mean. What does it mean exactly to talk about Shechinta Begalusa and Shechina? So first of all, he says, what you're asking about what Shem Yichud means, so we don't find this in Babli, Yerushalmi, Sifra, Sifri, Tosefta, Poskim, so why are you inventing your own you know, sentence to say? Just focus on what you're going to say and say it. Okay. But then he says, when you ask me to explain what Shechina is and what Golusa Shechina, which are things that we do find in Chazal, so I'll quote the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. Quotes here, the Rambam you have here is quoted in an earlier source as well. The Rambam says that the Shechina has to do with Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. If it has to do with an individual, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. And the Noda B'Yehuda continues and says what the Rambam talks about in terms of the ideas of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha and the Kadosh Baruch Hu's Kavod resting in a particular place. It's really intertwined. And he says, because the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, as he says here in the last paragraph, when Kai Yisrael live in sync with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, then Hashem gives us direct Hashpa and Bracha, and it comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what the Pesukim tell us in the Chukosai, Ufanisi Aleichem, says Rashi, I focus on you, I'm with you, I pay attention to you. Chas v'shalom, if Kai Yisrael deviate, so then the Hashpa gets brought down in different ways, not in the most direct way, and it doesn't stay in the same consistent way. Of course, we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us all the time, but it's important to emphasize the bracha that comes with it. and the shefa that comes with it, and that we should be able to do our part to be able to be the receptacles for the Shekhinah, which of course, as we see, has a lot to do with the Yanim of Kedusha and Yanim of Talmud Torah.
If the first Rishonim